All right, Kwame Raoul is joining us. He is the Attorney General of the State of Illinois. In general, thank you so much for being with us. And first of all, I want to ask you, we got a lot to talk about here because we want to talk about the fraud situation with the IDES cards that people have been getting that didn't even apply for unemployment, ended up getting a card from KeyBank, which is the bank that provides these debit cards as part of the payment plan to take care of people who've lost their jobs during the pandemic. And it's a crazy, crazy story that has developed here. Later on in the program, Terry Savage will be with us in the 4 o'clock hour. She's been dealing with this. We've been talking about this for almost 2 months on the program. And part of her snooping is what cracked this story wide open. We'll talk to her about it as well. But before we start with that, General, I want to ask you about how you're feeling, because I know that you had tested positive for coronavirus a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, thanks. First off, Ro, thanks for having me on. I'm feeling pretty good. You know, I'd be lying to say that I'm back to what was my 100% strength from before infection, but I'm doing pretty good. I've been working out, and that's what probably reflects to me that I'm not back to 100% yet, but I'm able to do so. I don't have any breathing difficulties, no fevers.
Right. Was it I don't want to get too much into your business, but I know people are always curious about this because it affects people in so many different ways. Would you call yourself having a mild case, moderate case? How would you describe it?
Well, you know, if you think about people like, you know, Herman Cain, who passed away, and right. Others who I know who have been in the hospital, relatively speaking, I would call my case a mild case, although I've heard of others who have been, you know, asymptomatic or had the milder symptoms in mine. I kind of characterize what I experience as a bad flu. Yeah. With several nights of chills and sleeping in a hoodie under the covers and still, you know, feeling cold. But
yeah, in the middle of a very hot summer too. It's just, it's a crazy thing. Well, Kwame, I'm so happy for you. And again, you know, this is one of those circumstances, not predictable, not manageable, clearly, as easily as we would like it to be. And let's get right to the issue here of the fraudulent unemployment benefit cards that have been distributed now. Can you explain a little bit about what this is? So if people have not applied for unemployment and they received an unemployment benefit card in the mail, why did they receive it and what should they do with it?
Well, and first let me start by saying, just like COVID, I'm somebody who's been impacted by it. So I received such a card that I did not apply for. And, I reported it to the IDES as well as my investigators within my office and our consumer fraud unit here. What I've been informed is that I've been probably the subject of a breach. So somebody's probably gotten a hold of my Social Security number and utilize it to apply for unemployment benefits.
So what is the benefit, though, of you receiving the actual card if they're trying to defraud or steal your identity? How does that work?
Yeah, so we're still investigating, and we're unclear about it, because I'm told that there's an option given to either select for direct deposit or this debit card.
Right.
And so if somebody were trying to obtain funds, you'd assume that they would, unless they have access to your mailbox or something, that they would select a direct deposit to a fraudulent account that they would set up.
And at this point, we don't know if more than Illinois are involved in this. Are there other states that we know that have had similar kinds of scams?
I'm not clear on that, to be honest with you. I wouldn't doubt it. Obviously, everybody's going through this pandemic, and increased unemployment is part of that. So, if Illinois is targeted, the likelihood is other states have also been targeted.
Right.
And we can't really tell, as of yet, where all of this is coming from. You know, it could be local, or it could be
international.
International, right?
Yeah, that's one of the things. General, hold on 1 second for me. Would you Kwame Raoul is with us. He's the Illinois Attorney General. And we want to talk to him more about this and some of the other issues that are surrounding COVID and the businesses in Illinois and what we're going to do to kind of crawl out of, not kind of, crawl out of this, because we just had really bad national economic numbers today that are roiling the markets and starting to freak people out, because as of tomorrow, tomorrow's the last day that a lot of programs that were designed to help people with relief, economic relief, are expiring. And one of those things is evictions and other kinds of measures to claw back money that people have not or been not able to pay for bills. And we'll talk to the Attorney General about how that's going to affect law enforcement here. Kwame Raoul is with us. Your phone call, 312-981-7200. Kwame Raoul is the Attorney General of the State of Illinois. He's joining us right now. And we wanted to talk to you, General, not only about this scam that people are experiencing where they're receiving these benefit cards, Illinois relief benefit cards for through the IDES program that was designed to help people who've lost their jobs during the pandemic, and all of a sudden they get these cards in the mail that say, you know, here are your benefits, and you didn't apply for them. That's part of a scam. It is happening, we know, in the state of Illinois. We believe it's similar scams, if not the same, are happening in other states as well. But we find that is most interesting, however, is that it is, as you said, General, it is based on a hack of your information. And this could be from one of the major data breaches that we've had in the last couple of years, Equifax or one of the others. People are buying your information, probably my information, almost everybody's information who had an Equifax account. You could buy that information on the dark web. This may be one-offs and people just trying to set up these bank accounts using fraudulent identification, then collecting these in mass. But it's going to change here. And again, if you have done this, you should get a credit report and see if people are opening up a bank account or a credit in your account. Did you do that?
Yes. I checked my credit report and didn't just check whether or not accounts have been opened up on my account. I also did a more thorough review of my existing accounts than perhaps I usually do.
Yeah.
And so I didn't see any other activity.
Okay, because it's important, because some of this is not recoupable if it goes away. I mean, there are laws there are some bank laws that actually do allow you to sustain a fraudulent effect, but some don't. And depending on what they're doing, and depending on what they're taking, and when you actually notice it, is a really, really big deal. Okay, I want to ask you about some of the other things that are happening here, because Congress has not been able to figure out exactly what they're going to do here at the end of tomorrow night, Friday night at midnight. A lot of the rules that were put in place to protect people and temporary laws were put in place to protect people by pushing off on evictions, for example, and forbearances on mortgages and things like that, that were given a window. We thought we might be out of this and we'd start to crawl back. But today we're seeing economic numbers from the last month showing that the U.S. economy shrunk by a third, the largest single shrink ever, and puts us actually technically into a recession. Hopefully not a long one, but it's significant. How does that affect people who either have mortgages that they haven't been able to pay, or they're going to get evicted? What goes on here in the state of Illinois now?
Yeah, well, I think the governor has indicated that he's extending the with regards to rents and so forth, the freeze there. However, what's concerning here is that if, and I'm optimistic, although I've learned not to be optimistic about what happens in Washington and in Congress, I'm optimistic that something is done, that some agreement is reached between the both sides of the aisle in Washington. What's concerning here is that we're entering a period where this all evolves from the pandemic and this shutdowns that we've had during the pandemic, and people losing their jobs and businesses losing business as a result of some of the restrictions that we've had to put in place here in Illinois, for example. And while our numbers in Illinois, relatively speaking, in terms of the burdens on our health system, have allowed us to be open up more than some states that took a more aggressive approach to being open. There's a likelihood that, you know, we may have to pull back on some things depending on how numbers spike in terms of people infected, people burdening our health systems, and further spiraling.
No, and you say pull back on some things, meaning the forbearances that are in effect, or the
on having opened up in terms of just freedoms to going back to, you know,
the way we were before.
The way we were,
okay,
before, right, that led to some of these economic circumstances. You know, many people speak about, you know, a potential spike in the fall being worse than it is right now. We see some southern states going through that right now. And, you know, it's probably inevitable, as I see, during the pandemic, I would come into the office pretty regularly, and it was a ghost town downtown. And now you can see people frequenting restaurants, and there are more people out, and some people taking precautions and some not. And so as a result, there may be circumstances that has the governor and the mayor reverse course on some of the opening up that has allowed for businesses to begin.
So, in effect, if we do that, if we reverse course and we start slowing things down again or closing things, then there would have to be an extension, obviously, of these rules that are allowing people to get some sort of relief, whether they get evicted. You know, there are people who have just not been able to pay their rent since February or March,
and we have to have an anticipation of that potential now, and that's why I'm hopeful that something happens within the next day and a half.
Yeah, on the federal level, but the state also has its own skin in this game as well. Can I ask you a personal question, General? You and I have known each other a long time. You come down here to the State of Illinois Center to your office in the Loop downtown. I drive through every day on my way to work too. It's startling, really, when you look at the Loop and the streets are relatively empty. And there are places still boarded up from all of the civil unrest in May and in June. Mm-hmm. And it just doesn't feel like we're going to get back to normal. There's a point where this almost becomes like, is this where we really are going to be? What hope do you have? What do you see as bright, sort of light at the end of the tunnel?
I just within this past week, as part of an organization called the Attorney General Alliance, I had the responsibility to moderate a panel, and on the panel were physicians from different pharmaceutical companies that were working on the vaccine and expressing promise. And I think there are going to be several vaccines. It's, you know, everybody talks about when the vaccine comes out, but you know, there's a competitive process out there, and from the sort of questions that I ask these medical professionals working with these pharmaceutical companies, it seems like they're making progress, and obviously they've got to do the appropriate testing and so forth. So I've got hope that there's a considerable investment being made in trying to not speed it up to where it's not safe, but make certain that we advance by way of science to a place where we can bring things back under control. Does that mean that things return to exactly how they were pre-COVID? No, I think people will learn some lessons from this experience that are probably good lessons to learn to carry on as, you know,
right,
whether or not we have a pandemic.
Yeah, you know? But we also, you know, as the chief law enforcement officer of the state of Illinois, we see still the violence, and we still see petty crime, carjackings, things like that mm-hmm. are up in places that they're up in total numbers, but they're also happening in places like downtown where they had not been happening
yep.
before. You're a lifelong Chicagoan, as I am.
Yep.
And I've never quite seen the city like this before. I'm sure you would agree with that. So the question really is, how do we get a hold of this? What hope do we have for turning the corner?
Well, I think one of the silver linings in the pandemic is that it's enhanced our collaboration on the law enforcement front. I got off a call today with them, without going into too much detail, with the a federal law enforcement partner, and I've been on these calls because there's been some anxiety about the resources that being sent by the federal government, law enforcement resources, to collaborate with local law enforcement. So I think there's enhanced collaboration. I'm confident that the local partners on the federal level here have good intentions in terms of helping to drive down crime, and it's not something aimed towards protesters or any sort of unconstitutional policing. And so I think one of the silver linings in this is that while we've collaborated on things such as fraud and connected with the pandemic and other crimes, it allows us to enhance upon that collaboration to drive down crime throughout the city. And you talked about how we've seen it in places where we hadn't seen it before. One of the things I've been consistent about is that we got to have a level of non-tolerance in places where we expect crime to happen,
right,
in order for it not to pop up in places where we don't expect it to happen.
That's an excellent point. These are unique times, General. Thank you for what you do. Appreciate it. Kwame Arul, Attorney General of the State of Illinois. And I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you so much.
All right, and I hope everybody's well and your family as well.
Thank you.
Kwame Arul.